Hello, world. This is the Know Your Place podcast, and this is episode 54. I'm your host, Charles Altendorf, bringing you the only, I don't know if I'm the only geography podcast on the internet, but at least the one that I feel like it's a very unique topic. I haven't seen many other ones. So anyway, on this week's episode, I want to talk about a phenomenon that I don't know how much it is in other countries, but I get the impression that it's not quite as intense as it is in America. And that's river cities. And I'm sure the first thought is, well, what do you mean? I mean, river cities have a... There are river cities all over the world. Are you silly? What? No, what I'm going to talk about is how there's sort of a seedy underbelly vibe to almost all river cities in America. I don't know. Let me rephrase that. Well, yes and no, but at least I'm going to talk about some of the major ones. And specifically, I do have, being someone who's been over most of the Eastern Seaboard, I've been to a lot of the more famous river cities in America. So I can talk from personal experience about why there's sort of a, I don't know, there's just a seedy underbelly. It's not to say there's not nice parts of all of these cities. There is. There's absolutely nice parts and cool things to do in all of them. But all of them have these stereotypical seedy vibe areas, and they're all river cities. So yeah, I'll get started here. So before I even bring this up, you know, I think that a comedy sketch from the late 80s, early 90s, I think, on Saturday Night Live has to be mentioned because it epitomizes what I'm talking about so well. So for my audience that's not American, I don't know if they've heard this sketch. They may have heard this sketch. It's a Chris Farley sketch, and he says, basically, the punchline is, you'll end up in a van down by the river. Now, what all does that imply? You know, okay, so the Chris Farley plays a motivational speaker who's trying to, I guess, tell teens to stay away from drugs so they don't turn out like his life did when he was living in a van down by the river. Well, what does that imply in sort of a context here? Now, I'm not saying how far they implied this. I don't think they personally meant to take a stab at all the river cities in America, but it is a pretty bold implication there. I mean, it's basically implying that if your life doesn't turn out well, you're going to end up living in a transient van environment down by a river. And, you know, this is in river cities all over America. There definitely is seedy parts down by the river with people living in vans. So, yeah, it's quite a it was that sketch is quite amazing. So anyway, if you haven't seen the sketch, go look it up and you'll understand what I'm talking about. So the first one I wanted to talk about is, of course, Cincinnati, because I lived by Cincinnati. And there's this area called River Road, and as you go west, or as it goes west out of downtown, and you know, as you go further west, it gets nicer. But you know, the area right next to downtown there in the west, you know, and this pretty much epitomizes all of these examples I'm going to talk about. You know, there's just, you drive through it, and you know, there's many old buildings. I think the thing that really is part of this, you know, actually, I gotta give my wife credit for coming up with the word transient environment. But basically, you know, there were lots of people coming in and out, but not many permanent residences throughout the times these cities peaked. So if you go through these areas where all this business used to be, there are tons of abandoned buildings, and it feels like they peaked in the 1800s, you know, like everything that's happening now after automobiles and the interstate system were invented. You know, it's just like built around them. Like this area, River Road, I'm talking about, you know, if you go west out of Cincinnati, you go inland like 10 miles and up to 74. Or you go south to 275 and west. You know, it's like, you know, it's this area is totally devoid, the near part. Now, you go further down, there still is a little traffic in that area of River Road because there's a ferry there, and it's a good 20 miles between bridges, so it's useful, you know. But, yeah, I mean, it feels like, you know, that you just drive through there and, you know, there's just tons of abandoned, boarded-up buildings, and then the ones that are there, people are living, you know, there's people living in kind of a transient environment, you know, and there's definitely lots of criminal activity that may or may not get reported or resolved a lot of the time. And terribly enough, you know, there's sometimes some bodies that's washed up around there from the Ohio River, been dumped in the river in that area. So it's definitely a seedy underbelly. And I'm, again, there are definitely nice parts of Cincinnati. I'm just saying, and it just, it feels like, happening from that area. And you know, when you drive through there, you know, there's like a bridge basically that goes over it, so you can go around, and they call it like a car viaduct, and you just bridge over this, and there's these giant railroad tracks, and there's a substation for the electric company over there. But then your half open warehouses and factories, and I mean, you know, I don't feel comfortable staying there for long periods of time, especially at night. You know, it's just, and it's not even necessarily that, like, I have a super big fear of getting robbed or something there. It's just, you feel like anything could happen. Like, it's a sort of, like, industrial wasteland. You know, you just feel like anything can happen. I mean, I don't even know anyone well, I take that back. I think I do know someone that something happened to personally there. But, you know, it's an underbelly. It's the underside of town. It's like, you know, where you expect the mafia to go do their dirty work or something. So then, to take that a step further, I've seen several documentaries about East St. Louis. That's the, suburb of St. Louis on the other side of the Mississippi River, and it's legendary for its population loss. At its peak, it was at like 80,000, and today it's below like 19,000. It's worse than Detroit's percentage, and Detroit has lost 2/3 of its population. So it's quite a, oh my gosh. I mean, you just, if you watch this documentary that was done by Channel 2 out of St. Louis about East St. Louis, you see these houses just catch on fire. Nobody does anything about it. You know, it's insane. And they're constantly arresting the public officials for laundering money all the time. And it's absurd. It's really absurd. It's like, is this, you know, is this really a modern country that this is happening in? You know, so I actually had the pleasure. We didn't actually get off the freeway in East St. Louis. I just want to make that known. But when you come in from Illinois, or you come in from Kentucky, ironically, you have to go through Illinois from Kentucky to go through there. But when we were coming in from that direction, we drove through East St. Louis. It was crazy. I mean, it was nighttime, okay? And you could see all the lights from St. Louis on the other side of the river, although there aren't as many as there used to be. St. Louis has experienced a lot of population loss as well, but not in the same level, okay? And it just, you saw these lights across the river, and then you're driving over East St. Louis, and it looked dark. I mean, it looked really dark. And you're like, why are you on all these big highways in somewhere that's dark? And you're like right outside of a major metropolitan center. You know, it was really surreal and dystopian. It really was. And East St. Louis also has this crazy thing where, like, again, it used to be a port. Frankfort, I guess, you know, kind of like this area of Cincinnati I was talking about. So there's a lot of abandoned warehouses. But so you have all this abandoned stuff, and then, like, they spend a bunch of money on putting up a casino, and they also have some strip clubs, which is something I'm going to talk about, too, with other – this seems to be another thing about these River City seedy areas. They all have strip clubs, and they all have abandoned warehouses. But anyway, they built a casino there. So it's like they – and I don't know who would want to go – you know, they're trying to make it out to be like, hey – it's a destination. Come gamble at our, you know, they call the casinos here stuff like the Tropicana, or, you know, some kind of real ritzy type of sound. And then, but you're basically driving through half broken down streets, and, you know, it's like this one block, and it's fenced off by barbed wire, but it's a casino, and it's fancy, and it's a resort, and it's got a hotel. Right? You know, it's supposed to be nice. I don't know why anyone would want to go there. If you're just, you look out your window and all you see is just abandoned crap for miles in every direction. You know, I don't know how that would make it a destination. But yeah, so it was really crazy going through East St. Louis. I was like, wow, you know. I mean, crime is high in East St. Louis. Amongst what remains there, but East St. Louis is almost so abandoned. I'm not sure I would feel unsafe there, because I just would be like, well, there's just nothing here. It's a little bit different than that seedy area of Cincinnati. You know, there, like I said, there's still things there, but man, when you go through main stretch of East St. Louis on the freeway, it just looks like there's nothing there. Just nothing. You know, it's really crazy and surreal. So the next area I want to talk about that I kind of briefly went through another River City town was when I was a kid, or when I was in college. My friend had family from Pennsylvania, so we decided to go through Pennsylvania. So, of course, we had to go to both Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. And the thing that did kind of surprise me about Pittsburgh and Philadelphia was, you know, there definitely were parts that had that seedy underbelly quality, but their main riverfront areas were both very nice and very ritzy, it felt like, you know. And I think that's because they really made that a point of emphasis. And some cities are doing that now, you know. Louisville and Cincinnati have both spent money trying to do that, and it's been a sort of mixed success. Here in Kentucky, though, the city of Owensboro, we were recently down there, and their riverfront looks very nice now. And, you know, Newport on the Kentucky side did something really fancy that's sort of petering out, and Covington's tried, and it's petering out, and Cincinnati's tried, and it's half full. And now, Milwaukee and Chicago, they have really cool riverfronts, and I think they're both very nice, but they aren't the main waterway there. You know, the main waterway is Lake Michigan there. So I think that makes a bit of a difference. You know, if you have multiple, you have so much waterfront property to work with, you know, I don't know, maybe that makes values a little higher. But yeah, so anyway, there, I was just struck by how nice the riverfronts were. But I do hear, if you go up in the northeastern side of Philadelphia, and even what parts of the west side of Philadelphia, you do get introduced to the seedy underbelly of Philadelphia. And as for Pittsburgh, you know, it was really weird, because their seediest part was kind of up on the hill, kind of away from the river on the eastern side, which was kind of different. You know, wasn't really expecting that. But anyway, some other towns with quite the reputation that I haven't actually been to personally. Obviously, Memphis. Consistently, Memphis ranks in the top five for most crime and virtually any metric, violent property crime, anything like that. You know, it's just a rough and tumble town. And, you know, Memphis is one of those cities that I think was especially hit hard by the end of the river industry, because Nashville and Louisville and Lexington and Cincinnati all receive sort of a decent amount of air traffic of either freight or passenger of some kind, and they all got major interstates running through them, both north to south and east to west. But and Memphis does have a east to west interstate, and it's getting a north to south interstate finally. It does have north to south one too, but it's all those other cities have experienced so much. It's kind of becoming a lost stepchild. Like, you know, if a big business wants to do something, why would it locate in Memphis when it can locate in Nashville? You know, or why would it locate? You know, it's just not conducive to anything. It's actually become. And what's weird is you could argue in some ways it's more centrally located than Nashville or Louisville, but it's just not the way things panned out for it. It just hasn't seen sort of some of the hip culture that Nashville got, or, you know, and it's a shame. It's really a shame, because I don't know what can be done for Memphis at this point. I mean, just, you always hear about really awful crap happening in Memphis, and even back in the 60s. I mean, that's where King got assassinated. And, you know, I'm not saying that, oh, well, it only happened because it was a rough town, right? No, obviously not. There were many other factors. But it's also not surprising he ended up getting assassinated there, of all places. You know, it's just, it's a rough and tumble town. And, you know, it definitely feels like it peaked a long time ago. So, yeah. And then, of course, we can't talk about a seedy river town without talking about New Orleans. And I just want to put the record straight here. I absolutely love the culture of New Orleans. The food, the people, they're great. But my golly, it has this one of the seediest reputations in America about an underbelly. And unfortunately, it always comes to light in the worst possible way. You know, like Hurricane Katrina and all the looting that happened afterward. You know, I'm sure most of those people were just trying to survive, but it did not look good. You know, it didn't look good, and it's awful because, you know, these people were really just trying to survive, and their government officials clearly did not plan for the level of disaster that occurred. And it's, you know, it's just a shame because it really added to a somewhat already negative stereotype of New Orleans. You know, and then Laura Ninth Ward, you know, is sort of this prime example of what the big problem with these river cities is. So, you know, if we're talking about somewhere like Chicago or Milwaukee or Cleveland or, you know, these big lake towns, one of the things they don't have to deal with that a New Orleans or a Memphis or somewhere has to deal with is flooding. Yes, it does flood in these places occasionally, but lake waters are more stable, right? You know, ocean waters are somewhat more stable. River waters, you could just wake up one day and it's 50 feet higher. Well, not 50 feet, but you know what I mean. It's 20 feet higher, and all of a sudden it's flooding over your house. Or you get these weird things where buildings have been somewhere since the 1800s, and then one day, just a random flood happens to knock out this building that day and not the other one the other day, right? And due to the transient nature, though, people want to live near the river, you know, to do their business, or at least they used to. Now they not as much, but, you know, they kind of still want to do their business on the river. And, you know, so they're searching out for the land, and they always get stuck in the cheapest, most flood-prone land. And that's what happened in the Lower Ninth Ward. And that's what's going on in the major city I live near, Louisville. We have this area called the West End up there. And if you drive up this highway called Dixie Highway up to there, you drive up and you – I was driving up there today, and we had a flood a few weeks ago. And I saw parts where it's like, man – it's so close to coming over the major highway here and cutting all these people off. And they're really worried about it. They're concerned that if there's some kind of bad rain event, you know, we don't get Hurricane Katrina level, but, you know, if we get a really bad rain event, you know, there's chemical plants along the river there. There's all kinds of the major power plants there. It could be a huge disaster, you know, and it's just, it's really a shame. I don't know if, you know, I don't believe you should outlaw somebody from living somewhere, but, you know, we did encourage some behaviors with cheap flood insurance and things, you know, and saying we're going to back people up and pay for them, even though we end up not doing it most of the time. And it's scary. I mean, it's really scary to think about all these thousands of people that lives could get ruined in a moment's notice if there just happens to be a terrible rainstorm in a terrible spot one day. But yeah, Dixie Highway in Louisville is amazing. You should drive up it sometime. There's just there's strip clubs on either side of the road. There's a power plant and some other chemical plant station. And there's several mobile home parks and all several kinds of businesses with different varying degrees of barbed wire around them. It's quite a drive, you know, and it's got a seedy feel, you know, if you're like, I'm not sure if I want to be out here past 9 o'clock. Not because I've heard, I constantly see in the news somebody getting murdered there or anything, just like, you feel like anything could happen, and there are parts of it that are abandoned because it got flooded so many times, and then even like the little towns along Dixie Highway, you know, you see these old buildings, and you know, what are they, these people just eke out an existence there. Oh, I'm just going to cardboard up this window and still live in this building, you know. It's really intense. It's really intense. So anyway, yeah, that's what I mean when I'm talking about this sort of seedy undervalley feel. You know, it's not like a huge slight to these places. I've still been to most of these places. I still want to go to New Orleans even, you know, but there's a vibe there, there's a thing, there's something you feel, you know, that's a unique part of it, is this, the seedy underside, the sketchy underside. Anyway, let me know if this is like this in other countries. If we talk about major river towns in other countries I've heard of, obviously London and Paris and Berlin and Hamburg, you know, there's obviously underbellies to all of those towns, but I don't feel like it's as closely tied to the rivers as it is in America. You know, like people pay money to go on riverboat cruises, really expensive ones of the Rhine in Germany. You could go down the river, the Ohio or the Mississippi in America, but I don't feel like it's going to be called a luxury cruise. You know, it's just not, you know, there's just not as many cool, nice things to see. Yeah, let me know what you think in the comments section, and thanks for listening to the podcast.